Welcome back to Nachiyami. We are in Iyov Perek Dada, the fourth chapter in the book of Iyov, and the topic of this chapter is Eliphaz's speech. So as we know at this point in time, Iyov has suffered terribly. He's finally let out his first soliloquy. He's expressed his anguish and his perspective of how it is that he suffered. And one of the perspectives he had is that he was part of the machine, so to speak. God had abandoned him, abandoned this world to a certain degree, and that's how it was that he suffered. Into this context enters Eliphaz. Eliphaz, of course, is one of the three friends of Iyov who arrives at this point in time. And Eliphaz can't hold himself back. He has to interrupt this what he sees as blasphemy on the part of Iyov, and he interrupts it. Our parak is 21 psukim long, and let's look at it step by step. The first two psukim, where Eliphaz just begs to interrupt. He cannot listen to Iyov. He just enters. He says, He says, may I have a word in between, Iyov? And then he lays into it. The first section of his speech, Psukim Gimel to Vav, 3 to 6. In this, he first turns to Iyov and he says, Iyov, you were always the one who gave chizuk to others. You were always the person who was the one who would encourage, who would give strength to those who are suffering. Hinei sarta rabim v'yodaim rafos techazek. You were the one. You held the weak hands. How could you let other people down now? Your emunah was always so steadfast. Halo yirasecha kisilasecha tikvasecha v'soim derachecha. Your hope was never ending. You were that ray of sunshine to so many people. Can it be that you, Iyov, are the one now who's throwing in the towel, who doesn't have hope, who's not able to see the bigger perspective? Iyov, it's not consonant. That's the first step of his speech. Then he gets more serious. The next step is Psukim Zion to Yud Beis. And in this section, the topic of the section is he believes that only evil people really get punished. In this section, he says, Zuchar na mi hu na ki. Remember, please, who is the one who is free of sin, avod, who was destroyed? Ve'efo yesharim nechadu. He says, you know what? The punishment that a person gets comes directly from Hashem. That's why he says, remember, look into your actions, remember to your past. Iyov, look at your diaries. Remember what happened in your life. There must be something. Search in your life. Do a soul searching. Look in that mirror, Iyov. There must be something that you did which warrants the situation that you are now in. He talks about at the end of this little section about lions. Shagas Ariyeva called Shachal Shine Kfirim Nitol. That these lions were dispersed. The call of the lions were crooked, they were sent and dispersed to Vnelavis Parodu. They're not going to get their prey. The way that Rav Schwab understands this is the imagery is that a lion, a beast which is too powerful, a king which is too powerful, which misused its power, will ultimately find its bad end. And that's what he's saying to Iyov. Iyov, there's something you must have done, something evil you must have done to get yourself into this circumstance that you suffered. So, and then to prove it, Eliphaz goes into an even more terrifying speech. And this is the last section of the Perek, Yud Beis to Chav Aleph 12 to 21, in which he talks about a vision he had. The first few psukim, he just actually describes what the vision is. He says that, you know what? He says, Ve'elai, davar yugunav, vatikachosni shemetz monohu. I had some sort of fleeting prophecy, and a little bit of it remained in my ear. I could make out. You know, it was at night, it was dark. I couldn't really understand it. But you know what? I saw something. There was something that I heard, a very still voice that I heard in my prophecy. And you know what that voice said? And this is what he describes in Pasuk Yud Zayin. He'enosh me'eloika yitztak, im me'oseo yitar gover. Is a human being more righteous, more pure than God? Is his actions going to be more clean and perfected? He says, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't leave any of his servants, even his angelic host, without any criticism, as he goes on to say. When you think, Shoichnei Botei Chomer, Asher Be'ofor Yesodom Yedakum Lifnei Osh. You think that you live in a material, corporeal body. You come from earth. You think you hold any sway. You'll be cut down from morning to evening. And if you don't notice anything, if you don't pay attention, you'll be completely, eternally finished. Wow, what a strong description over here. It's implying almost as if that Eov may face eternal damnation, so to speak. He may face this if he continues, if he doesn't look inwards, if he doesn't pay attention to the actions that he must have committed. Very, very heavy perek. Just to appreciate of three salient points over here on this parak. Number one, who is Eliphaz in the first place? It turns out that we have missed an Eliphaz in the Torah. In Sefer Bereishis, we meet Eliphaz is one of the sons of Esav. In fact, that Rashi points out, quoting the Gemara, that because he was the grandson of Yitzchak, somehow the imprint and the impact of Yitzchak changed Eliphaz, and he himself did teshuva and became a tremendous learner of Torah, and in fact was a prophet. And we see the praise prophecy from the fact that in this parak he quotes one of his prophecies. And the Da'at Mikra points out that it comes to the word paz, not gold, but strength. He's a strong man. It's interesting that the journey he took, that he marries a woman by the name of Timna, who's a Pilegesh, and she wanted to actually marry Yaakov, but was not afforded that opportunity, and she turns to be part of the Abrahamic family to Eliphaz, which is the second best option she can, to the Esau line of the family. Ultimately, they have a child called Amalek, who rejects both his mother and father's righteous principles and becomes one of the greatest Sonei Yisrael of all time. Fascinating, complex relationship over here. This identifying with Eliphaz, with this specific discrete character in Tanakh, obviously plays into one of the identifying factors of who Eov was and where he lived. But if we assume that Eov was more ethereal than a specific person, then Eliphaz perhaps is not necessarily a specific person either. What is the main argument that Eliphaz is making? So the way that Rashab explains it is that up till now, the way that Eov has been able to rationalize the suffering that he's experiencing, knowing that he has a clean slate, is to say that ultimately it wasn't God who was causing it. God was actually involved in other things. He wasn't involved in this world. There was no Hashkacha Pratis. He set Eov into this world, and he'll deal with him after and before this world, but not during this world. That was, so to speak, Mikra. That just was the happenstance. That was his horoscope. That was his zodiac. That's what allowed it to happen. So that's what's happened. So what the response of Eliphaz is, there's no such thing like that. Every single action, every micro action you take dictates the parameters of the world around you. In fact, the way that the Malim deepens this concept is that this is completely throwing out the deterministic principle. In a certain sense, Eov, you, like Newtonian determinism, have suggested that every person is like a billiard ball, and if you could just perhaps map out the decisions making, the influences, the economic, the environmental decisions made in a person's life, you could map out their entire life one step after the next and know exactly where they will end up. Well, that doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. Says Eliphaz, it doesn't work like that. Every action that you do, you're held responsible for. Even if you might not be in control of the ultimate results, you're in control of the action you tried to do, and you'll be punished or rewarded for that action. Therefore, don't in any way hide behind anything and say it was Mikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing you, Eov, and if he's punishing you, you got to look into your books, you got to look into that mirror and work it out what it is, because if you don't, you're hiding from yourself. That's what Eliphaz says. Not always a very comforting thought to be on the other side of. I'm sure many of us have experienced being on both the Eliphaz and Eov side of this in our own disagreements, and when we see people in unfortunate situations, whether it be ourselves or others, God forbid, whatever micro or macro terrible situation we're going on, there's always Eliphaz who are pointing towards us as if we did it to ourselves, and sometimes we're that Eliphaz. Not always such a helpful emotional experience, but at the same time also there's a truth to it. One quick question, and this is what we'll close with today, and that's a very interesting question, and that is, was he correct? He's quoting a prophecy, after all. Was Eliphaz correct in his prophecy, saying that tzaddikim are not more righteous than Hashem, and they will ultimately always suffer for their sins? So, interestingly enough, the Malim points out that it is a nevuah, and he was a tzaddik, as Chazal say, who received a nevuah, but his nevuah was not the full truth. Meaning to say, 3 points that Malvin points out. First of all, he calls it a geneva. It was a, so to speak, a quick fleeting. It wasn't direct nevuah. Number two, it was a parable. It wasn't a direct message. Number three is, it was a dream at night. It wasn't a very clear incandescent prophecy. So based on these three principles, the Malvin says that it obviously it was half a truth. And by the way, half a truth is more dangerous than not a truth. Because you have half a truth, you can come to the conclusions you want to draw through the asplakaria she'enami ira, through your unclean lens, and that's the conclusion that Eliphaz draws. But ultimately, as we will see as we go on through the book of Eov, Eliphaz is incorrect. This is not true theologically. People can suffer without sin, and hence the example of Eov. So Eliphaz is incorrect in his assertions, although he perhaps had a nevuah which he partially understood and appropriated for his own arguments. This closes the first step of Eliphaz's comments and his speech. We'll continue with them further. As you can see, it's going to be a dialectic of the interplay between Eliyahu's friends and he himself, trying to understand, trying to make meaning of this horrible suffering that he's going through. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.